Okay, so let me back up. So they're going to evaluate the proposals, and they're going to whittle it down to a smaller group?
No, they won't necessarily whittle it down. The first product will just simply be a document that can be made public, but that the audience will be the RFP evaluation team, the ones looking at the proposals to build LNG plants or propane or pipeline. It'll be a response to that team saying, hey, if you get a proposal that says I'll build a cook inlet or an LNG plant, a cook inlet, I don't have my own gas supply, but I can build a plant, this will inform them to say, yeah, you know what, if you go with that option, looks like there's gas supply or not available for that plant. So that'll be the first document. And we'll only go beyond that if the RFP process actually goes and engages one of these LNG plant only, at which point the evaluation team will go back, look at those responses, and determine which ones of them provided a response that looks like it could become a commercial deal, and then we'll start directly negotiating.
I'm still confused on how you get to the finish line.
Yeah, so can I just kind of expand on it? Is there a criteria or a mechanism for evaluation other than an opinion? So they get so many points for this and so many points for that to make it very clean and transparent to everybody.
Yes.
How do you get to that point, and where is the public involved? Where does the public see it? Where do we see it as a board, obviously? I just want to make sure where everybody knows what to expect, when to expect.
Okay, so at this point, no, there's not a ranking. We're not picking a winner. This is simply to test the market, determine if is there gas in cook inlet. Should we spend time evaluating the cook inlet LNG proposal? And that's the first part.
You got more than one, though, don't you?
More than a response?
Yeah.
Yeah, correct. So we'll evaluate the responses, determine whether or not the market can provide gas for cook inlet, and then at that point, we'll essentially shelve it for the period. And then if we do pursue a cook inlet project and we do need to go back to them, we won't necessarily score and pick a winner out of this process. This was an RFI, not necessarily an RFP. It was
RFP, there's a proposal.
Yeah, so, okay, sorry, yeah. So this is an RFI. This is simply just to gather more
RFP,
information.
RFP, okay. Well,
I'm with RFP.
Okay.
That's why there was an acronym.
RFI. Okay, big difference. Gary? Right.
Sure. Is it public how many responses you have?
No.
Or is that something we can say or not say?
At this point, my understanding is that that's something we can't say.
Okay.
And this is for supply?
This is just for gas supply only, a standalone supply molecules.
So most of your questions go to the next one, the liquefaction and alternatives RFP. That was on the street that closed the 3rd of August. Kirk is the technical lead on this. Tom is providing the procurement guidance on this, and that process generated multiple proposals. We will give summary information on that as part of this report. The expectation is that the proposals will go out to the evaluation team. Those will be reviewed across the next 2 weeks. We will come together and we will rank them, score them based on the criteria that were in the proposal document. And from that, identify the step two finalist proposals with which we will enter into independent negotiations to look at each of their viable plans and how can the ADA financing tools fit into theirs. And so you can expect across the next month that we will be evaluating and generating that finalist list.
Is that group confidential too?
The names are confidential.
Initial names are confidential. When we reach the finalists, then we'll discuss that in terms of what we'll release, and we have to work with the finalists on that as well. But the expectation is there will be public release of information once we get to the finalist list. When we get to the very end, all the proposals that were turned in, except the financial and technical information that's been identified confidential, will be available for public review and for review by the other proposers.
And is that number public? How many responses you received?
Yeah, Nick's going to give it here shortly. We received 13, and he'll summarize for you the information that's available. We put out an addendum last week that let all the proposers know that we wouldn't be identifying by name the universe of proposers, but we would provide summary information, not just the how many, but the classification of type of proposals that were received, so that the board and the public can be have a sense of what's being evaluated. With that, before we go to the summary of what came in the door, Tom is here because we are in an evaluation process and we have multiple vendors who will have different desires to communicate with all of us. Tom would like to spend a little time talking about both conflict of interest and confidentiality in the process.
Thank you. For the record, Tom Erickson, Chief Procurement Officer of DATA. Mr. Chair, members of the board, I've been asked to give a brief statement regarding confidentiality and conflicts of interest regarding the RFP. Currently, we're heading into the evaluation phase, which is a sensitive part of the RFP process. It's important to be mindful of our actions in order to maintain the integrity of the process. As board members and state officials, we're all easily accessible to the public and to the vendor community. That said, during the evaluation process, it's important to recognize where conflicts exist and avoid those situations. Also, keeping in mind that even the perception of a conflict can be just as damaging to the integrity of the process as a real conflict of interest. I'm asking all of us to please be aware that meetings or contact with potential contractors or interested parties, whether in private or in public, can be viewed as a conflict of interest. Each of you will be asked to vote to approve a comprehensive partnership that will result from this RFP. Vendor attempts to influence the vote through contact outside the board room should be avoided. Conflicts or perceived conflicts, real or not, over the next several months will set the tone or the stage for a fair and impartial process. If it can be perceived that a meeting or a conversation can have influence over the process, then we should avoid the meeting or the conversation. Finally, I just want to highlight the need for confidentiality. Related to the RFP, sharing of confidential information, even in a casual setting, can taint the process and give the impression of a conflict of interest. So I know this is a challenging project. I just want to thank you all for helping me preserve the integrity of the process. Thank you.
So I have a quick question. We don't know who the proposals are. How would you evaluate if you had a potential conflict? I mean, this is a fairly big project and have a lot of objects in the interior. People talk about it. I'm a public board member. Someone comes up to me and says, where are you at on it? What's going on? I don't even know who you got a proposal for. Am I supposed to say nothing? I mean, I'm trying to figure out how do I avoid that potential perception or the conflict without having the information or what who's on first or second. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I understand that. I think that, if somebody in general public were to ask a question, you should listen to them and hear their what they have to say. But I think if we're engaging in a conversation, it's completely appropriate to ask how they're involved in the project, to say, did you submit a proposal? Are you interested? A vendor? Are you a partner or something like that? I think in most of the vendor community understands this, that the confidentiality project or the process, and so it's pretty, I think they're pretty open, and they should be open to you if you're querying you about some process. I mean, it's just that we need to be somewhat aware of that going into this, that there will be possibly vendor contacts.
So if they come to you and say, I've turned in a proposal, I want to tell you about how wonderful it is. That's a clue.
I think it's the circles you travel in, and mm-hmm. It's the brother-in-law of someone that you don't know is associated with the proposal that may be a sub or a a supplier or a vendor or a trucker, or in a casual conversation, which you don't know where it's going to go. I mean, it's literally a very small world, and I'm looking for guidance. You know, the best, you know, intentions sometimes it leads you down the wrong path. So I'm just trying to figure out how, what, and where. I mean, we've been very open and with the public up until this point, and I understand the sensitivity now. But at the end of the day, you know, how does a board member, with the circuit you travel in, as far as for other business, someone comes up and says something. I mean, it's short of saying I won't discuss the topic to anybody at any time, anywhere, until the decision is made.
I would say the best sense is your own judgment. If it starts feeling like it's pushing into a vendor arena, you are public board members. All of you have responsibilities to listen and interact. And it's when you either or it starts to take the direction, just say, you know, really, I think we're going to have to stop and there's no clear line, because it would be foolish to tell you don't interact and say I can't talk about it. That doesn't, you can't serve your role. But I would say use your own judgment. If you already know, you know, say, hey, that's just not one we can talk about here. Or if the conversation leads you to, you know, it's an advocacy sort of approach, you probably want to back off from that. Would be my guidance for how you maintain openness and discussion with the public, but not have efforts to go to you directly to influence your vote. Is really the discussion is for sensitivity to it, not for a dark line.
Gary, then Crystal.
So sometimes it is helpful to look in the rearview mirror. Last year at this time, locally, myself, I know Bob, and others, we were getting beat up at these cocktail conversations and at meetings because of everything that Ada was hiding. And that became, and these were well-intentioned people that, one, are curious, as we all are, and two, people that want to get their opinions in and help shape the outcomes, and they're well-intentioned. So thinking of now we're back where we were a year ago in regard to confidentiality and all, and conflict of interest. So let me ask, it'll help me, from today until everything is public with the exception of proprietary information, how much time are we talking about?
I think the evaluation process is going to take about 60 days. Is that right?
A couple months.
So that portion of it is really where we're looking to keep information confidential. And then at the end of that, we'll be releasing information regarding who we selected, and we'll be opening these forms. During the evaluation process, we do keep information guarded, but we do make sure that at the end of it that we provide open, and we open our process up for scrutiny. And so that at that point, we start to allow people to see our process and what we've done. But that's not necessarily done during the evaluation phase of the RFP, at least in phase one.
Thinking back, I think it would have helped me back then and would help this time have the board think about this. Wonder if you could put in kind of a blend of what you two just talked about, that we can say to the folks that are surely going to ask me, I'm going to say, this is the policy that we adopted. This is what we're, and I can just hand it to them. And I said, we're going to have all these answers for you October 1. And that's what I can fall back on. It becomes a board issue. It's not a personal issue of hiding things or favoring one over the other. I don't know, Bob. I mean, I'm thinking back a year ago, and that was the headwind, one of the headwinds we were running into. How do we handle that?
We expect that more information will be available once step two hits to try and avoid that. The other piece is, yes, we can do that, and that will, we can make it obvious in a similar manner to that we made the amendment to say this is what we're going to release on step one. so that it's out there and it's published and everyone has it, and we can do that as well.
And I think step one is really following kind of best procurement practices also. So this is very common. This is not an unusual process that we're going to keep the evaluation and the procurement evaluation committee to, you know, a secret. So it's not unusual in the standard RFP processes here. So you can also fall back on that, in that this is an RFP and this is the way we've been instructed to go through.
And step one is the 60 day step.
No, that's August. We expect September to be done with step one.
I'm sorry?
We expect by September to be done with phase one and have, so you're only looking at 30 days before we've winnowed down and there's public information available.
At the end of the 30 days, there won't be names, but there'll be groupings of responses?
No, you're going to get groupings of responses today.
What do we get at the end of 30 days?
My expectation would be who the finalists are.
Oh, okay. So you'll have it down to a short list?
Yes.
Okay. So that's when information comes out, with the exception of proprietary information.
And that's when you can also expect you'll get more outside influence that appears in my project when they're down to the finalists.
So the short list, how do you got to the short list? The 30 days, will that be public?
All of that. Releasing of the, you know, the scoring sheets of phase one will be generally identified and released at the end of the process. That's what we.
Is that 30 days or the when?
At the end of phase two, that's when we would propose that. I think at this point.
And phase two is the selection.
That's a recommendation to you, yes.
That's the 60-day window. So 30, you got a short list, and 60, you have the recommendation to us.
We'll have a timeline to go through with you on this. We came prepared to talk about the timeline for how we're going to get you to finalist today. We'll bring you
so
a complete.
Just shut up and listen.
Well, no.
Yeah.
No.
All right.
But you're a couple of steps down the chessboard on us.
No, sorry. Okay.
But really the process we have right now is we have proposals in the door. We're going to winnow them down using our evaluation criteria and get to finalists, and we expect September to be a reasonable target for that.
And so that's the questions that we'll get, at least I know I'll get. You expect to have finalists win, expect to have a selector, or a someone that you'd recommend win.
Yep.
When will the board take action after that? Mm-hmm. And so what, do you have a timeline, kind of a general timeline for that, Bob?
Yeah, I do, but I'd rather provide it to you in writing later.
Okay. Crystal?
So just to be clear, on the supply side, it's an RFI, which is information that can be basically shared. It's just information sharing is what they're not giving you pricing. It's just an RFI, and there's two things. One is if there's really a market there. What's the second thing?
They are providing price, or they were asked to provide pricing. So the.
But it's an RFI.
It's an RFI. It's a non-binding RFI. We ask them to provide pricing.
Confidential RFI.
Confidential RFI.
So the two things that you would be looking at is if there's a viable supply.
Viable supply at a price that could potentially meet the IEP goals.
And then the liquefaction component is an RFP with pricing.
It's an RFP, and I think
because I see those terms being thrown around, and they mean very different practices in the market.
Right.
If I am talking about an RFI and someone's giving me information, that's not a conflict. Pricing, because it's a proposed price, is competition. So I keep hearing these words kind of like a ping pong game, and I don't know if we're really serious about what we're asking.
Yep.
So is it an RFP with pricing?
So take one step back, and yes, we're serious on both. There's pricing on both. The RFI provides confidential information from suppliers who say, this is the gas we have, and this is the terms under which we would consider selling it to you. And so once you know that, then you can enter into negotiations independently with each of them to cut the best deal you can. And you keep that confidential because you don't want them to know who they're bargaining against, if they're bargaining against themselves, or what pricing is out there that they're competing against. And so the entirety of the RFI is kept confidential. And those are for...
Is this to commerce?
Commerce. And these are for commercial reasons of how you negotiate. The RFP is a request for proposals, and we are asking the universe of people who want to provide energy to the interior to provide a proposal on how they would do it, how they would structure their pricing, and the management team that they would use to do that. And so then each of those components that were asked, and I used three, but I think there were probably five.
There's five.
I only can remember three. So there's five areas that they have to respond, and each member of the evaluation team will score those five, and collectively the proposals will be ranked by the team.
Okay.
And in that one, the common procurement practice is proposals are submitted. It's not like a bid where you open them and you read them and you do a number. Yes, everyone turns in their proposals. They're evaluated at the end of the day. All the proposals that are turned in can be looked at by anyone in the public who says, why did they do that and how, including the score sheets. And that's where the openness of that rank evaluation comes out. And so they're different. One is a more confidential commercial approach. The other is a more common procurement approach for evaluating non-cost items related to skill sets approach and more qualitative rather than quantitative rankings.
Okay. Thank you for that delineation.
So with that, you know, that was more of a bird walk than we expected from a discussion of confidentiality, but it was really it's a reminder. We're trying to avoid that, and that's part of the reason why Tom is guidance. So with Nick will give us an outline of what happened on got in on the third.
Yeah. So yeah, the discussion of what information is coming out when this is the first blast of information. Like Bob said, we informed through an addendum that this information would be provided, so all respondents to know that this would be coming out. The RFP closed August 3rd. In that time, we put together a summary. We received proposals from 13 respondents. Of those 13 respondents, we allowed the option for one respondent to submit multiple proposals. So if you add up the number down below, it's going to get to a number larger than 13. So we had 9 proposals for a Cook Inlet LNG plant. Of those 9, there was 5 proposals for an LNG plant only. One proposal that included LNG plant, gas supply, and transportation, so that the LNG delivered to Fairbanks. That was one for LNG plant and gas supply, so that would be LNG outside or at the gate of the plant. And then 3 proposals for gas supply, an LNG plant, and transportation. So 3 proposals for LNG delivered to Fairbanks. In addition, there were 3 proposals for a North Slope LNG plant. One of those was for the plant only, and 2 included the LNG plant and transportation. And then we had 1 proposal for a pipeline from Cook Inlet to the interior, 1 proposal that we're categorizing as Cook Inlet Other. We didn't specify exactly what it is because we internally decided that would provide too much information as the proposal was. 1 for imported propane and 1 for imported LNG. So 16 total proposals from 13 respondents.
So I guess the good news is that you have some options. The bad news is you have your work cut out.
Yes. Options. Yes. The characterization I made is, in terms of when you put out an RFP, your first fear is nobody shows up. Then once we're over that hurdle, so we've solved that we have options and we have a nice range and quantity of them. Now the question is quality, and that's the next month in terms of evaluating disparate proposals in a fair manner. That's the next step. And from this, we expect to come to a short list, and we don't have a predetermined size of the short list. It could be 3, it could be 5. You know, it'll be proposals that the evaluation committee feels is a viable alternative that can provide low-cost energy. And you know, as and frequently when you do this, when you start scoring them, they separate out. There'll be a separation somewhere between the third and the fourth, or the fourth and the fifth, in terms of overall ranking of scoring, and that's where you drive.
Is where we've been assumed that the recommendation that was presented to the board will ultimately have the information on how you rank it, but you'll have the other finalists also, the pluses and minuses, and go through that with us, similar to what we did last time. Last time, I think the top of the three, we had three, and the staff went through all three with the recommendation of one of the three. Is that what you anticipate?
The expectation is that will be available not just to the board, but to the public.
This is available.
Yes.
The presentation at a public forum, the board, there was the top three. It could be five, or it could be two, or whatever. And then based on how in a public setting, your ranking and how you evaluate it, here's your recommendation.
Exactly. And the expectation is, because of how it worked last time and because of the high level of interest in this, is that you'll get a recommendation at one meeting and the request to act at the next meeting, so that you have full time to weigh it, as does the public.